A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whom he has taken by his right hand to subdue nations before him and strip the loins of kings to force gateways before him, that their gates be closed no more. It is for the sake of my servant Jacob of Israel, my chosen one, that I have called you by your name, conferring a little though you do not know me. I am the Lord, unrivaled. There is no other besides me. Though you do not know me, I am you, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun, that apart from me, all is nothing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Give the Lord glory and power.
Give the Lord glory and power.
Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell among the nations his glory and his wonders among all the peoples. Give the Lord glory and power. The Lord is great and worthy of praise, to be feared above all gods. The gods of the heathens are not. It was the Lord who made the heavens. Give the Lord glory and families of peoples, give the Lord glory and power. Give the Lord the glory of his name. Bring an offering and enter his courts. Give the Lord glory and power. Worship the Lord in his temple. O earth, tremble before him. Proclaim to the nations, God is king. He will judge the peoples in fairness. Give the Lord glory and power. Reading
from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. From Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church in Thessalonica, which is in God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ, wishing you grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We always mention you in our prayers, and thank God for you all, and constantly remember before God our Father how you have shown your faith in action, worked for love, and persevered through hope in our Father, in our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, brothers, that God loves you and that you have been chosen, because when we brought the good news to you, it came to you not only as words, but as power, and as the Holy Spirit, and as utter conviction. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. The Pharisees went away to work out between them how to trap Jesus in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him, together with the Herodians, to say, "Master, we know that you are an honest man and teach the way of God in an honest way, and that you are not afraid of anyone, because a man's rank means nothing to you. Tell us your opinion then. Is it permissible to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus was aware of their malice and replied, "You hypocrites, why do you set this trap for me? Let me see the money you pay the tax with." And they handed him a denarii. And he said, "Whose head is on this? Whose name?" "Caesar's," they replied. He then said to them, "Very well, give back to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." The Gospel of the Lord.
In a month that's in 4 Sundays, we will end the liturgical year. And I like really this liturgical year because of the Gospel of Matthew we read. So in a month we will start another Gospel, the Gospel of Mark. What I like in the Gospel of Matthew is that Jesus is a great teacher. He's a great leader. And his teaching, he delivered it through parables. We have heard on these Sundays the man who gave the feast and invited people. We have heard the master who traveled and gave money to his workers. We have heard on various Sundays his parables, in which I hope he is touching and transforming our hearts. Today he appears as a very intelligent and sensible man, knowing the tricks of adversaries, the traps, because they wanted to get him, they wanted to condemn him. And today he appears as a very balanced and just. In the middle of tricks and traps, he knew how to avoid and go his way without being caught, without being fooled. And the trick he faced in the Gospel of today was very political. Of course, we see two groups. The Pharisees, it was a religious group of his time, and the Herodians, it was a political group of his time. So the two groups collided to get him, and he did not fall on their traps. Yes, religious ideas and political ideas, when they mixed, they can become dangerous, and we can be caught in the middle of them without knowing the right thing to say or the right thing to do. But Jesus knew, and he was able to be fair. He was able even to send back his opponents to their own lack of sense, to their own, let's call, sorry for the word, their stupidity. And for us readers and listeners of these texts, they are like mirrors in front of us. When we look at them, we should see ourselves. How do we deal with political issues? Are we extremist? Or are we like Jesus? Extremist by the other side, or extremist to another side, against God and against Caesar? Are we like Jesus, giving to God what is to God, and to Caesar, to the king, what is to the king? Or to Charles, let's say like that here in this country? Are we balanced like him? This is a big challenge. He is challenging to us. But I would like to come back a bit on the first reading. The first reading is taken from Isaiah, and Isaiah is almost the longest book of the Bible, which covers, in fact, various periods. In fact, those who read and know the Bible know that it's not the work of a person. There are various authors, certainly from different periods. The period of the life of Jerusalem, the period of life after the destruction by the Babylonians of Jerusalem, and there's another period which is two or three generations after, the period of life in Jerusalem after the return of the Jews from Babylon back to their land. So it's a long span of time. The one whose the book is attributed, Isaiah, is not one person. It may be a school of thinkers who claim to be from a master, a teacher also, like Jesus. So Isaiah is a man full of art. We often hear his text during Advent announcing the beautiful and peaceful messianic times when the lamb will live with the lion and they will eat grass together. That will make laugh an African shepherd like me to see a lion and a lamb together, or to see a child passing the hand through the hole of the serpent, of the snake. This is wonderful. Anyway, Isaiah has sensitive, touchful images and symbols to talk about the kingdom of God, to talk about the coming of the Messiah. So this touchful man used a political leader and military leader and described him as the hand of God, the Son of God, the instrument of God's mercy. This is daring. The religious of the Bible, or the religious beliefs of the Bible, are very sometimes narrow and sometimes very nationalistic or tribalistic or very ethnicist. Non-Jewish are just like pagans, banned. They are not part of the world even. But Isaiah took a pagan king from Persia who defeated the Babylonians. Babylonians were holding in exile in Babylon the Jews after destroying the city of Jerusalem. So Cyrus, the king of Persia, and Persia will be today Iran, destroyed Babylon, which is today Iraq, and freed the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. You see that the political and violent problems of this region are not only of today. Since centuries, there's always violence in this part of our globe. So Cyrus, who defeated the Babylonians, is called by Isaiah, Son of God, a title which Jesus himself will give to himself in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Gospel of Mark and Luke and John. So, in the vision of Isaiah, he's very universalistic. The love of God is not only for the Jewish people. Foreigners can be called sons and daughters of God. This is a great sign of openness of mind and not narrowness. So this universalistic vision will embrace the whole world, the whole humanity. The love of God is not reserved to a region, to a nation, but it is for all humanity, for all his creatures, for all living on the earth he created. So let us not be surprised, and let us enter into the universalistic vision of the Bible. On this Mission Sunday, may we be conscious of the need of the gospel of all humanity. Even if Christianity has had a long way in this part of the globe, almost thousands of Christianity in Europe may have made us fed up maybe with religion, but today the gospel in some parts of the globe is like salt. It gives taste to life, the life of many people. And we are thinking of Kibera. Kibera is a place which challenged my religious family. The Maris brothers are in Nairobi and they have an international formation center. There are 100 of young Marists preparing themselves tomorrow to be teachers in Catholic schools all over the continent in Africa. So I visited them and they took me to Kibera. And Kibera is a terrible place, a place of criminality, a place of poverty, a place of survival, really. People are surviving to live. Just to get there, the public transport, they are terrible. They call them the matatu, and matatu means three. So you pay 3 Kenyan shillings to get there. It's very poor, but you enter into a minibus and you may be many inside. And the driver will take you there. And when you arrive, there's no running water. And as that part of the continent can be very rainy, it's very dirty. So the Marist, who are having the Department of Education of the Catholic University of East Africa, said, "We are sons of Jean-Claude Collin, of Marcelin Champagnat, our founders, sensitive to young people. We have to bring them up. That will change the future of their area." So they started going there, meeting the young people, and opened a school. So I'm very familiar. Well, I know that place, and I know that your prayers and what you will give to Missio, which is a kind of a body collecting the participation of the Christian, the Catholic communities, and either financial contribution or spiritual contribution, helping the Pope to send missionaries and to support missionaries there, this is great and this is really useful. May it be fruitful also. We are all missionaries. Missionaries are not only those who are present in difficult places. Missionaries can be those living in a convent and praying like Saint Therese. Missionaries can be those who mind, those who are aware of the sacred dimension of their life, of the transcendent horizon, which is far above our vision or above our nose. Who can see far? Who can think of those who are far, those who are different, but like them, who are human, and who can feel solidarity, who can express solidarity, who can feel love, and who can feel togetherness despite boundaries, despite our differences, despite variety of conditions.